Amen.
Please be seated.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that. Good morning. I stand here to... Well, I'm just going to start out. Just you'll understand in a minute why I'm thinking about if I should do this or not. But I used to have... I dream occasionally, not a lot. Who dreams a lot? Like you remember your dreams all the time. Raise your hand. Okay? Who never dreams? You can never remember any of your dreams. Raise your hand. We've got a couple. Okay. I fall in the middle. I dream occasionally that everybody dreams, you just don't remember them. Occasionally I'll remember them. Well, this one I used to have on a regular basis. And actually, I just checked it out last night. It's one of the top 10 most common dreams. It's very, very vivid. I would be in college and hurrying to get to class, which is not always a dream. But anyway, I'd be hurrying to get to class. They don't give you much time to get between them. And I'd sit down at my desk, and everybody around me was like massively, frantically going through their books and notes. And I'm like, man, you guys are a bunch of nerds. You know, when you're studying before class. And they're like, what's the matter with you? Like, because I just sat there and was waiting for the prof to come in. But I remember, man, they're just going crazy, like frantically ripping through their notebook and, you know, jotting a couple extra notes down. And I didn't quite understand it. And finally, right as the professor walks in the door, somebody says, did you already study? I mean, are you good? And I'm like, what do you mean am I good? For the test today. I was like, what? For the test? Oh, that's not good. Didn't even know we were having a test. But apparently that's one of the most... Top 10 most common dreams. Anybody ever have that one besides me? College kid, of course. I bet you if the warehouse were here today because they weren't home on break, there'd be a couple more hands go up. Confession time. It was very, very vivid in my dreams because I lived that. And the reason I really debated on telling this story or not right now, it's because my 13-year-old's sitting right over there. And one of these days, she's going to be in college. Confession time. That was me. See, when I was in college, I worked. Had a job. It was a great job for being in college. It was loading trucks for RPS Packaging System. It's right in the same town I went to college in. But I worked from midnight to 5, okay, a.m. And sometimes I was one of the few guys in the whole company that knew pretty much every zip code in the United States and which of the 67 docks that truck would go to, that package would go to if the computer broke, which it broke quite often. And if that happened, they'd ask me to work a double, and I'd stay till 8 a.m., go home and get a little bit of sleep and try and make your classes. I also wrestled and, you know, did stuff that I wasn't just a slacker and had a couple classes throughout the day. Pretty much my whole day was packed. But that little bit of sleep sometimes turned into a little bit more and a little bit more. And that 8:30 class I had in the morning, still remember the title of it, Psychology of Aging. Oh boy. I remember showing up for the first class. That's a good idea. Cover her ears. I showed up for the first class and got the syllabus. And then it was a couple weeks later I showed up again. And people were frantically looking through their books and frantically looking through their notes, talking back and forth quietly with each other. I'm like, you guys are a bunch of nerds. Seriously, what's going on? And like, oh, you all set for this test? I'm like, what test? I hadn't looked at the syllabus. And we had a test that day. And I hadn't been to class since the first day. So I took the test. Fortunately, in psychology, a lot of the stuff builds on a lot of the other stuff you've already learned. And I did okay. But I didn't find out till the next time I showed up a couple weeks later and got my test back. And the same thing was happening again. People were frantically going through their books. We had another test. So when I handed in that test, I got my first test back. I got a C. Happened, yeah. I thought C was pretty good for not knowing it was even going to be test day. It happened again. I showed up 6 times to that class all semester. Confession time, like I said. Okay. I got a C. The only reason I got a C is because I didn't attend enough. And once you skip more than 3 classes, it can definitely affect your grade. You have the freedom in college to go when you want. I took advantage of that freedom, especially for that 8:30 class. When I looked up last night about if that dream has any significance or not, yes, it's one of the most 10 common dreams, but it also said that you will typically get that dream if you are anxious or feeling unprepared in a situation. Makes a lot of sense, because that's what it's about. So the reason I bring that up is... Sorry, I gotta look at my notes here. Not to tell you I didn't go to class, okay? Because I would have had a much better grade if they just counted my test scores. But attendance affected me. I know some of the students that we have in Adrenaline Youth Group. Some of you guys do very, very well, okay? Proud of you for how the effort you put into class and the effort you put into your studies. That's awesome. I really admire it. Even my own daughter. Okay? She, brag on her just for a little bit. She has been on the, I don't even know what you call it, some honor roll I never even saw. Okay? Distinguished honor roll. Apparently what that means is you've gotten a 95% or better in all your classes combined. And typically it's well above that for her. And that's pretty awesome. I don't think she'll probably get this dream because she prepares herself very, very well. I hope she doesn't anyway. But that's not who I came to talk about this morning. We're actually going to see a video right now about somebody who always passed the test with flying colors. Okay? So when they're ready, they'll pop that up there. And we'll get to take a look at this. That is from Matthew 4. We're going to be speaking out of... I'm going to be speaking out of... I guess you guys can take your turn and come on up. Anybody want to come up? No? Okay. I'm going to be speaking out of Luke 4 today. Same story, different place. Okay. A lot of times in the Bible, you'll see a story duplicated because it was written by 2 different authors. This story is actually in there 3 different times. And I think if anybody says anything to you 3 times, you better pay attention. So let's turn to Luke 4, right at the beginning of the book. Right at the beginning of the chapter. Luke 4, verse 1 through 13. If you don't have a Bible, scooch up next to somebody that does, or grab one out of the pew in front of you. Luke 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. He said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. See, I could be done and just walk off. That's said enough. But we're going to break it down a little bit this morning. We're going to see what Jesus' secret was. How was it that he always passed the test and not just squeaked by with a C? How was it that he got an A+ every time? In your outline, point number one says, listen to the Spirit. And as I was preparing yesterday for this message, I was trying to do just that. I was trying to listen to what the Spirit was saying. He said, add something else. I was like, but that line's already done. Add something else. Okay. What do you want me to add? He said, listening's fine. But what if they don't do it? I said, okay. So it's now listen to the Spirit and follow his leading. Listen to the Spirit and follow his leading. If you haven't kept something in your Bible in Luke 4, we're going to be going back there a lot. Okay, we're going to go other places, but keep something in there, your finger or a piece of paper or something. Okay, Luke 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, if the Spirit just said, go into the wilderness, and he didn't do it, the story would be omitted from the Bible. So it's important that we listen and do what the Spirit's telling us. Just before this, Jesus had been at the Jordan River, because it tells us right there. Just before this, he was at the Jordan being baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. If you back up a little bit right before we just were in Luke 4, the end of Luke 3, it says Luke 3:21 and 22, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. A voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I didn't even know I did this, but I just kind of did that to my daughter sitting there. You know? Good job on your tests. Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, just like in the song that we sing, the deep cries out, It's a fun song. We typically do it at the end of service when we sing it. And it says, when God says move to the left, what do? We're supposed to move to the left. When God says move to the right, we're supposed to move to the right. When the Spirit led him, he listened and obeyed. Now, I guess I should point out that not every time God speaks, it's not always a thundering, "This is my son," you know, from heaven. Sometimes it's just the opposite. Most of the time for me, I'll be honest, God's just kind of whispering. Holy Spirit uses a gentle whisper to whisper to me from within. You don't have to flip here if you don't want, but you might want to write it down so you can check me later. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. I can remember at least twice in the last 6 months we've had messages on this. The Lord said, he was talking to Elijah, "Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered its rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Sometimes, like I said, most of the time for me, I don't know about for you, he speaks to you in a very quiet voice. Almost like, was that me thinking that? And then I listen to what it says again. No, that was God. Point number two, on your outline. When you're being tempted and you want to find the way out, fast. I changed this right before I sent it to Peggy. Okay? Because what I had was, when you're being tempted and you want to find a way out fast. But according to what the scripture said here, he was out there for 40 days, and I don't think that's real fast. So I changed it. Anyway, back to Luke, our main text, Luke 4:2. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I know some of us miss a snack, and we're starved. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Many kind of fasts you can do. You can do a total fast, like Jesus did, no food. I guess you could do an absolute total fast and not drink either, but your body can't handle that typically for 40 days. You can just fast meats. You can fast other things like television, technology. I had somebody speak on that recently and gave us a challenge to shut off our technology for a little while. They're all designed to draw you closer to God so that you can draw on His strength, His wisdom, and receive His clarity. That's what Jesus was doing. coming under fire. So he fasted. So he could draw on the Father's strength, the Father's wisdom, and get clarity from the Father. Because in our own, I'm not going to speak for Jesus, but on my own, in my own, I can't do it myself. Now, I burn something for dinner and I get a little upset. Okay? Well, that's not fasting, though. See, we're only told about three of the temptations that Jesus faced during the 40 days he spent alone in the wilderness. Just think about how many times in an average day you face some sort of a test or some sort of temptation. Seems like I get tested every day. That's on an average day. Now, what about picture in your mind one of your worst days? When things just are coming at you like a machine gun. That's rough. I mean, we've all been there at times. Had stuff just hurled at us, like if somebody pulled up a dump truck and just dumped it on us. You know, we're trying to swim out of the garbage there and you just can't even figure out which way's up. See, the enemy knows how to fight dirty. When we're in the thick of things, he knows the buttons to push. Jesus was out there 40 days battling this guy, not eating. And what's he come up with? Hey, you're hungry. Turn this stone into some food. I want to take a look just real quick. You don't even have to turn there, but do write it down so that, again, so you can check me. And I recommend you write all our scriptures down. That, you know, at least put the verse down so you can go back and see, do exactly what we're doing here. Breaking it down. Look at it in context to see if what we're saying up here fits with what the scripture really says. I don't put a lot of scripture up on the board anymore because I want you opening the word for yourself. Take a look at it. Yeah, the version may be a little bit different. Okay, the words may be not that many theirs, thous, and thuses. Okay, but does it say the same thing and mean the same thing as what the speaker's trying to tell you? Okay. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. See, Jesus was being bombarded beyond what we would face on our worst day. Because Satan knew, if there's one guy I got to stop, it's him. When you're dealing with all that stuff, on your average day, it's hard to get through. But when you're dealing with all that stuff on one of your worst days, it's because you're doing something right, probably. And he's got to knock you off before you get it done. You're headed in the right direction. Don't give up. Point number three. Oh, I'm sorry. Point number three. Be prepared. Know the word, because the enemy does too. He was an angel. He knows the word. James 1, 2 through 4. It's one I like to pull out when stuff starts getting real thick. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, What he's trying to say is, this stuff toughens you up. I was just talking to a Marine yesterday. We were working out, and he was done, and he was just telling his stories about that of Paris Island. Okay? He said, in the winter, it's really, really cold there. But in the summer, it is not cold. He said, Satan's like right there at the bus, welcoming me off the bus. Like, come on into hell, it's really hot. But one of the things he was saying is, when you get there, they got a lot of sand fleas in the summer. Am I right? A lot of sand fleas. And I don't know if you ever had fleas when you had pets and stuff like that, but they're not the nicest little guys. They're just wee little things, but they itch like crazy when they start biting you. You're not allowed to scratch. You're not allowed to stand there and scratch, like do one of these numbers or anything. You got to stand there and take it. I just guess because a lot of places in the world, they got stuff a lot worse than sand fleas. And if you're in the heat of the battle trying to scratch your legs, probably not the best thing to do. You got to deal with it. Am I right? So it toughens you up. Just like the trials that we're talking about here. They toughen you up, and when you pass the test, you become more mature, more complete, not lacking anything, according to what James wrote. Kids, do you know why teachers test you? Contrary to what you believe, they do not test you to see you suffer. They do not test you to see you fail. See, I know this because my wife's a teacher. They test you to promote you. They give you the information, and then you get a test so that you can be promoted. Let's look back at our text. Verse 3. Again, we're still in Luke 4. The devil said to him, and I think it went something like this. Just challenging him. Doesn't say that, but that's my reading on this. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, like questioning him, are you really? If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. I dare you. Jesus answered him, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone. The scripture Christ uses there is from Deuteronomy 8:3. Let's take a look at the context and see if it makes sense. Deuteronomy 8:3. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy 8:1 and read through 5. Because I like reading a little bit before, all the way through, a little bit past, just to make sure somebody's not trying to twist things on me. The title of this section in my Bible says, do not forget the Lord. Beginning of chapter 8. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, right there it is, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. And while we're here, we're going to skip on down to verse 15 and 16 in that same chapter. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you out of... He brought water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known. To humble you and test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. See, you know what? There's something else here. Down in verse 19. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship him and bow down to them, I will testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Now, amazing. The bread of life, or manna, that sustained the Israelites in the wilderness, it's Jesus. Jesus. Okay? He recalls the scripture that Satan knows about the exact situation he's in at that moment. Only this happened eons before. And he gives glory to God the Father, which is exactly the opposite of what the devil is trying to do. Let's look at the next one. Luke 4, 5. Next testing. But I don't know if it's next, okay? Because in Matthew, this one comes first, and then the other one. But in Luke, it's this one. They don't say next. It's in the order that they have it here. So Luke 4, 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. He said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. For if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus' words are from Deuteronomy 6:13. That's again, look at the context there. Deuteronomy 6, we're going to start in verse 13. Actually, the whole heading on chapter 6 is love the Lord your God. So verse 13, fear the Lord your God and serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you. He will destroy you from the face of this land. I'm going to keep going because the next one applies to the next scripture we're looking at. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Now, Massah was a place that the Israelites, they just were questioning whether God was even with them. Questioning whether God was even there. How many times do we do that when we're going through a struggle? Man, I'm all alone. You know? God, are you even here? You see what I'm going through? He knows what you're going through. If you're a believer, he lives inside of you. Sorry, verse 17. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees that he has given you. Do what is right in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. See, just keep your finger there for a second. Luke 9, the devil led him up to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he commanded his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that your foot will not strike a stone. I could just hear the devil saying, see? That's what God said. You're going to be fine. Go ahead. Just jump. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And we just read that. Since we already looked at what Jesus said, let's take a look at what Satan said. His words are scripture. They come right from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." Verse 12, "They will lift you up in his hand so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." That's exactly word for word what scripture said. Wow. Maybe he's not such a bad guy after all. He's telling scripture to you. But that sneaky little serpent. Read verse 13. "You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent," which is him. He didn't want to tell him that part. I think at this point, Jesus probably had enough. And like in the video, I loved it. He walked right up to him. "Away from me, Satan." Point four. When you've had enough, tell Satan where to go. Remember I said story is in Matthew as well. That's what the video's from. Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan." And my Bible has an exclamation point right there. So he wasn't just saying, "Hey, could you get away from me, please?" No. "Away from me, Satan. For it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Be bold. Use the God-given authority that he's given you because you're a child of the Most High God. There's no one higher. Him. And you're his kid. I know my dad would stick his neck out for me. Protect me when he had to. Your guy's not going to let you hang in. Be bold. My notes say confession time. I don't necessarily like that. Still get tempted. A lot of times it's while I'm awake, out working, on the weekend, relaxing. Sometimes it's pretty tough. But the worst time I have, I can deal with that, okay? I can deal with the times of struggle. Avert my eyes. Stop in the middle of a sentence. Stop doing something I might have started when I realize that voice is whispering, "It's not what you should be doing." The hardest thing I think I deal with is when I'm not awake. When I'm vulnerable. When I'm sleeping. Some of the dreams I remember wake me up. And my mind, or something else, tries to rationalize with me, saying, "You're just dreaming. You had no control over that." I don't believe it. I believe even our subconscious is submissive to God's authority. and his power. I struggle with that. It's not as rare as I would hope that I wake up in a panic or wake up vivid things in my mind. I get up out of bed. I take a look out my window. It's right beside the bed. Satan, get away from me. I'm a child of the Most High God. Because when I try and just brush it off and go back to sleep, that exact same dream picks up right where it left off. And I'm not making the best decisions. But when I get up out of bed, so that I'm fully awake, and I say, Satan, you have no rights to my mind. You have no rights to be in my dreams. Get out of here. Let me alone. I'm a child of God. You got to go. I usually go get a drink and go back to bed. It ends right there. It ends right there. You have authority over these things. Take advantage of it. Use it. If you've professed to be a Christian because you've admitted you're a sinner, believe Christ was real and died for you, you have that authority. Verse 13, we're going to finish up. If you can have the worship team come back up. Luke 4:13 says, when the devil finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. When he finished all his tempting, he left until an opportune time. That means he's coming back. You're not done with him. Just because you took authority in that situation doesn't mean you're done with him. He's going to find another opportunity to come back. Because it's something you said, something you did, another open door is there. He's going to come back with guns blazing, attacking you at your weak point. That's what he does. You need to follow God's example, or Christ's example, by listening to the Spirit and following his leading. When you're being tempted and you want to find that way out, don't forget, use that powerful weapon of fasting. Be prepared. Know the word, because he's going to try and use it against you. The enemy's a tricky little sucker. He'll try and twist it in a way that's to his advantage. Use the full word of God. Know it. So that when he tries to say something, that's not exactly what it says. Let's go look. My boss has told me on a number of occasions that what he does when he's being picked on by the enemy is he says, thank you for that. I'm going to take that to my father and see what he says about that. Take it to God. See if God says, you're just a punk. You don't ever get anything right. You're always late. You never fix anything. You know what he says to you. Take it to the Father and see what he has to say about you. And the last point from today, when you've had enough and your time of testing is done, tell Satan where to go. Get away from me. Take the authority that you've been given. See, it's confession time again. It's your turn. If there's stuff you've been dealing with, the enemy's been picking at you, come up here and have some friends stand with you. No fanfare. Somebody will come and pray with you. Don't be ashamed. I just confessed you twice up here. Okay? If you don't know how to hear from the Spirit, if you don't know how to recognize that small voice talking, come forward. If you don't think you know enough Scripture to be able to stand up against him, come forward. We'll pray with you. Somebody here will help you. We'll meet you. They'll share their Scripture with you. Maybe you just want to know more about this Jesus. The guy that took it all on himself for you. I like the video because when Satan was tempting him with everything in the world, offering Jesus a shortcut to own everything, to rule over everything, he didn't take it. Remember what it did? It flashed to him being crucified. Because I believe in that moment, he thought of you. He thought of me. He said, nope, I can't do it. I love him too much. I love him too much. I'm not going to take the shortcut. I know it's going to hurt. I really wanted this cup to pass from me. But it's a cup I've been given. And I'll take it for you. So if you're dealing with something, I encourage you to come forward. Meet me down here.